My name is Nicole McGrath Patty. I am 34 years old. Today is August 5th, 2017, and I'm speaking with Richard Allen McGrath Jr., who is my father. We are recording this interview in Overland Park, Kansas. Okay. What is your earliest memory?
In life? Earliest memory in life? Chasing my sisters around, playing bonkers.
Playing bonkers? What was bonkers?
I had this toy plastic car that we used to chase each other around and hit each other with.
So it's a game that you guys invented yourselves. how would you describe yourself as a child? And what was your childhood like in general?
As a child, I was pretty wayward. You have to read that back. Out of the foster care system. I had many homes growing up. So when somebody asks me where you're from, I have a hard time explaining it to them.
How has your adult life been different than what you'd imagine it would be as a child?
I am more successful than I ever thought I would be in life and love.
Is there any reason you thought that you couldn't be that successful when you were a child?
Just because of my childhood.
Yeah.
And I didn't apply myself well when I went to school.
Anything else about your childhood you want to share? How you were as a little kid?
I was the only boy of an all-girl family.
Did that make things interesting for you?
Yeah, I never had to leave home to find a date.
They always setting you up with people.
No, I just wait for my sisters to bring their friends home.
We're going to jump a little bit to when I was born. Do you remember what was going through your head when you first saw me?
After I was allowed to see you, yes.
Why couldn't you see me?
Because Tina, Debbie, your mother, nobody wanted me in the room.
Yeah. They didn't want you in there when I was during the delivery?
They didn't want me in there at all. Mm-hmm. Your mother basically told me to get the hell out of there. You did this.
She. Yeah, she. If I remember right, she didn't have any pain medications or anything with me, so she was especially difficult.
Maybe a little distraught, yeah.
Yeah. How did you choose my name?
I do not remember.
I think I remember Mom saying that you chose my name, that you just heard it and thought it sounded pretty or something.
That sounds about right. Sounded like something I would do. I looked up and saw what it meant. So yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, I like the meaning of my name. Victory of the people. What was I like as a baby and as a child?
Very easy. Very easy child to raise. Very easy child to love.
Thank you.
Very easy child. Still to this day.
Was I quiet or was I...
It, you had passion for things. Mm-hmm. You were quiet, but when you got a passion for something, you embraced it. You embraced your passions.
What about Lauren? How is she? My sister Lauren.
A little bit more challenging. But you two are completely separate in your personalities and your wants, needs, and desires in life.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember us, any stories about us together when we were little? Because I'm 6 years older than her.
Well, you guys, you didn't hang out a lot together until we were in Naperville.
Mm-hmm. So, I was a freshman in high school then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's in junior high. No, she's in fifth grade or something.
Yeah, she was in elementary school, almost junior high, I think.
Yeah.
What were the hardest moments you had when Lauren and I were growing up? Either when I was growing up or before Lauren was born, or after.
One of them was when I was in Germany. I got a phone call saying that my daughter's in the hospital. You need to get back to the United States. And they said you had something going on in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have migraine and stuff then.
Yeah.
So I caught an emergency flight home from Switzerland. The only one that was open.
Yeah.
I had to get that arranged. But I want to be back. I want to be back to be with my own kid.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be with you.
Well, luckily, it was just migraines. They were testing for something more serious. But I'm sure having a child of my own now, I'm sure that was terrifying. If you could do everything again, would you raise me and Lauren differently?
No. Well, I'm pretty damn happy how you turned out.
What advice would you give me about raising my own kids?
I don't think I need to. I think the way I raised you wasn't bad, and you follow a lot of the same things that I did when I was raising you.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Letting your child be yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely something I remember. I was kind of a weird kid, but you let me be a weird kid. How has being a parent changed you?
Compassion, how I look at things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't have to think outside of the box, because sometimes the box shouldn't even be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a general question. What would most people be surprised to know about you, to learn about you?
That I've been to prison.
Yeah.
I've been homeless.
Mm-hmm.
I basically started life with a backpack and a thumb.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk more about your time in prison or being homeless? No?
No.
Okay. What was the happiest moment of your life?
Well, one of them was definitely when I found out I was going to have a little baby girl and I was going to name her Nicole. Because at that point in my life, I didn't think I could have children.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know I was going to at least have a daughter.
So the opposite question, what has been the saddest moment of your life?
When I lost my father.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost my father, and before that was then when I lost my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because once that happens, you know you're next.
Yeah.
You're the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
It raises your mortality awareness in life.
When you lose both your parents, especially. What lessons have you learned from your marriages?
That you can try as hard as you want and still may not work out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn to love again.
Yeah. And a general relationship. Lessons.
Well, take each person in your life, whether it be a love or a friendship or whatever, and just take each one of those and let it be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to make it something it's not.
Yeah. Because each person's different. Who has had the biggest influence on your life, and what lessons did they teach you?
Wow. Nadine.
Mm-hmm. Nadine's your wife?
Yes, Nadine, my wife. And she taught me how to be a very strong person. She's gone through a lot in life.
Mm-hmm.
And still an awesome person. Everything she does.
Yeah. So just the fact that she's able to endure so many hardships and
persevere,
stay strong and persevere, yeah.
Well, she's lost children, she's lost husbands,
mm-hmm.
She's lost her father already.
Yeah.
She's been through tornadoes, floods, fires, and famine.
Mm-hmm.
And she still keeps a smile on her face.
Yeah, she does. Do you regret anything in your life?
No regrets.
What? No regrets?
You ever saw that movie, The Millers? Were the Millers?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you got a tattoo. It says no ragrats. It's tattooed on his chest.
So you have no regrets?
I really don't.
That's good. Not a lot of people can say that.
There's a couple of things I wish I may have handled differently, but no regrets.
What are the most important lessons you've learned in life?
Most things are not within your control.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn how to manage through each situation as it comes. And do not overthink things because you'll probably make the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
Go with what your heart, your core tells you to go with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you can drive yourself crazy with too many scenarios and options. And
yeah, questioning yourself.
Mm-hmm. When in life have you felt most alone?
When I was homeless.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about how you became homeless? Or?
We will if they ask me to, but how I became homeless is in 1981, there were hardly any jobs to be had in America, period.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in a small town, I couldn't find a job. I said, I'm going to go find a job. The first place I stopped that has one where I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to Kansas City. That's why I stopped in Kansas City. That's why I stayed in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So I did find a job. Made $1.50 an hour as a waiter. Ended up owning half that restaurant.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
What was the name of the restaurant?
The El Matador. This white boy and a black dude owned a Mexican restaurant.
What's more American than that?
I thought that was always kind of ironic.
So how did you come to own half of it?
Well, I was a waiter, and then I ended up being assistant manager. He needed some stuff done to the restaurant, remodeling-wise. And I was always pretty handy with my hands. He said, if you do all this, he goes, I'll let you have half ownership of the restaurant. So I did.
Nice. Is that around the time you met my mom?
I was working at the restaurant when I met your mother, yes.
Mm-hmm. What are you most proud of?
My children, my grandchildren.
Yeah. Thanks.
Very, very proud of you girls.
Do you want to talk about the type of cancer you've been diagnosed with? Just so.
A glioblastoma. Brain cancer. Well, it makes you, things like that alter the way you think. And I say that, not, I don't want to make it sound too bad, but because you have so many other day-to-day things going on in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And you also got something that could be life-threatening going on in your head, too.
Yeah. It's hard to worry about laundering stuff when...
Yeah.
When you're not.
I'm gonna get the shirt. I have a brain tumor. What's your problem?
I love that. I think that's a great idea. So, who's helped you the most in your diagnosis?
Nadine and Laura.
Nadine's your wife and Laura's your sister?
Yes. And all the love of my children, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize I had as many friends as I had, or I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I come over almost every day to show it.
Yeah. Do you like that? Do you like people visiting you a lot?
I do like people visiting me because, first of all, I like to talk a lot. My speech therapist said that my speech is so much better. Nadine goes, hell, well, you should have had that years ago. I can understand him now.
Yeah, you have been a mumbler in the past.
I think part of that is also from some of my brain injuries.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy from Texas, his name was Bill Herman. He You probably remember.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought that to my attention before we went to a big sales meeting one day. He said, you need to pronunciate your words, speak more clearly. And I started doing that, and I faded away from it when I had that one accident
mm-hmm.
in 2004. I started going back to my old mumbling ways.
You mentioned some brain injuries. Do you want to talk about how you got those injuries?
In 2004, I got a U-turn in front of me on 435. And I was hit, well, I hit a car doing 70 miles an hour. And I smashed in from behind by another car doing 70 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2015, I crashed. Shouldn't say a crash. I was involved in an accident on 435 in a different spot, 70 miles an hour on my motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer dropped a load of ladies hauling on the road in front of me. And I plowed into it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
It's the first time I'd worn a helmet in over a year and a half.
Yeah.
It saved my life.
Yeah, I remember. You don't always like to wear your helmet.
Yeah. I wear one almost everywhere now. I think I should have one on now.
We have a little more time than I expected that we would. We didn't talk much about your work, if you want to talk about what you've done in your career, either from the beginning or what you liked most about it? Or
I think everybody has a God-given talent.
Mm-hmm.
My God-given talent is my mechanical aptitude, being able to figure things out mechanically,
mm-hmm.
which lent itself into what I went into for a career, which is a mechanical engineer. I'm a process engineer. I design processes for people. And I really enjoy my work, which I'm fortunate because not a lot of people get up in the morning and say, hey, I can't wait to go to work. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun today. I get to do that.
Yeah.
I get to try to figure out things that other people don't get to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very fortunate to have worked around some of the best mechanical engineers on the planet that allowed me to learn from them.
Yeah.
Because just because you're working with a smart guy doesn't mean he's going to let you learn from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your story is unique in the fact that, you know, I don't know of a lot of people now that can learn on the job like that, you know. They
don't allow you to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Even the interns from college, they don't get that allowance anymore. They're lucky they get an internship program.
Yeah. Is there a general open question, any other stories or characters from your past that you want to talk about? Funny stories?
I have plenty of them, but one thing I want to say is listen to people,
mm-hmm.
and keep your mind open to new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't keep your mind open, you'll shut many, many good ideas away.
Yeah. Now getting to some of the harder questions, maybe that's why I was stalling. Do you have any last wishes that you'd like to share?
Well, I'm a fortunate man to have the daughters I have and the granddaughters I have, and to be able to say that I grew old enough to meet them,
mm-hmm.
and love them.
Yeah. So you got your last wish?
I have my last wishes, yes.
Yeah. How do you want to be remembered?
Just as a good guy. I just want to be remembered as a good guy. I like a guy that liked to have fun.
Well, I don't think there's going to be any problem with people remembering you that way.
If you don't live life on the edge, sometimes you never know where the edge is.
Yeah, you were riding your motorcycle up until your diagnosis.
The day before.
Yeah. I don't know if you should have been, but you were.
I don't know if I should have been either, but I wanted to, mm-hmm. So I did. Well, my left leg was a little weak. It's kind of hard to hold the bike up, because that's the side I usually prop it on.
Yeah.
I pull up to a stop sign.
Is there anything that you've never told me but want to tell me now?
Can't think so.
I think you're pretty open.
I've tried to be very open with you your whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you were like 13 years old when I told you a whole bunch of stuff. I said, okay.
Oh, I remember.
I'm going to tell you about your dad. Yeah. You're going to hear from somebody sometime, but I want you to hear it from me.
I remember it was my 13th birthday, and I was having a bunch of friends for a sleepover, and we needed birthday candles for my cake, and we went to Walmart to get birthday candles. And in the car, you told me that you had been to prison and that you had been homeless, and I just remember just being shocked, like you said, with the question of, you know, what people would... most people would be surprised to know about you. But it also made me feel like a grown up, you know, like it made me feel like, oh, you like you trust me to know this, and I
still trust you.
And I could tell that it was something that had weighed on you, that you had wanted to share, like you felt like you were keeping something from me.
I don't like hiding things from people.
Mm-hmm.
I like people to know me for who I am and what I am. And it was also out of consideration and respect. Two things you need to give people that you care about: consideration and respect.
Mm-hmm. Is there something about me that you've always wanted to know but have never asked?
Yeah, but you probably don't want to ask me that.
No, I'm willing. You've answered all these questions for me. I can answer one for you.
I'm not going to ask anyway.
No, go ahead.
No.
We got 16 minutes.
It's awful personal, but, like, you're my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when did you lose your virginity? Things like that.
Oh, I'm being 100% honest. I waited until I was married.
Well.
No one believes me, but I did.
I believe you. So is that the house I was trying to keep you guys apart at?
No, it was when we got our apartment.
Oh, okay. I believe you.
Yeah, I'm honestly, like, people don't believe me that I never tried drugs, or it's 100% true.
I believe you on that, too. In fact, even though I smoke marijuana again,
mm-hmm.
I did quit for 37 years.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to raise my children in an environment of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not say, don't go do this if I was doing it.
Yeah.
But once you're an adult, and I mean, things, you're going to do whatever you want anyway because you're 20-some years old. But I no longer had any. Whatever it was going to be had already been, or it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. This was to be our very last conversation. Is there anything you'd want to say to me?
I love you.
I love you too.
I'm very, very proud of you.
Thank you.
You're such an amazing woman.
I really appreciate that. And I hope that you know that I love you too.
I do. Thanks, Mandy.
What?
I said, thanks, Mandy.
Why do you say that?
That's my, imitation from, the Cosby cartoon.
Oh. Yeah. Serious stuff, we always end up laughing anyway.
Yeah.
That's really the way we handle it.
It's like when I was at the Dave Matthews concert and you're sitting across the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I can see you. What are you doing in here? I found a ticket.
Yeah, that was the first concert I went to by myself, and then I saw you were still there, and I thought you would drop me off.
I thought I had two. Till that limo pulled up and he said, hey, I got 5 extra tickets. Who wants to go? I said, I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
They were face price.
Yeah.
They were great seats, and I go, I'll go in. I said, I don't like to see Dave Matthews. Too bad it was a Motley's playing, but.
They, yeah, that was at Soldier Field, and there was a surprise Al Green guest. I remember that. That was a pretty good show. Although, the joke is that my first concert was Judas Priest, because Mom was pregnant with me.
Hellbent for Leather. Yeah, she went to sit down. I go, don't sit down. You'll be hitting the head of the chair. I had like 4 rows back from the front tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And the chairs were not bolted to the floor. They were ready to be thrown so the pit could be formed. I watched Ron Hufford ride his Harley on the stage, and then I watched him shimmy down the tower from like 3 or 4 stories up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, Rob Halford singing, where is he? He's like 4 stories up on this tower.
Yeah, you went to a lot of concerts in your life.
I still do.
Yeah, I know.
I like music.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could play it as much as I like it. Until I get this hand back, I won't be playing again.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my driving forces. I just want to be able to play.
What do you play?
Well, the only instrument I've ever played worth a damn was the violin.
Mm-hmm.
But the guitar I played, and now I'm trying to learn the keyboards to get my dexterity back to my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Which Laura's helped me out with a lot. We've sat out in the garage that little Yamaha keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a pretty good organist.
Yeah.
She's good on keyboards. So she's, you know, showing me the major keys and chords and this, that, and the other. The majors and the minors and all that.
I remember you had a harmonica too.
I still play it now and then.
Yeah.
I actually wasn't bad at it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking probably didn't help that out.
The harmonica? Oh,
when I started smoking again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I played, I quit smoking for years. And when I started smoking again, I got to where I didn't have the wind to do it anymore.
Yeah. So we have a couple questions left that are heavier ones, so if there's anything else you want to say before I get to those, we have some time.
No, go ahead.
Okay. When you meet, I ask this question assuming, because I know that you believe in God.
I do believe in God.
When you meet God, what do you want to say to him?
Is there anything that I could have done that I didn't that would have made anybody's life around me more rich and happy? Not necessarily in that order.
Yeah. Do you feel like that now? Like you didn't do enough for people?
Well, that's actually one of the things I'll never know until I meet my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of what I may have done different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll tell me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too emotional here, but that is one of the things that is one of my guiding forces behind my attitude I have towards what's going on in my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, not to sound too macabre, but the worst thing that happens is I get to meet my Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you don't, do you feel afraid?
No. I'm not afraid at all.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Because that's the worst thing that happens to me. Outside of all the other people that I may leave behind that also might miss me.
Well, there's plenty of people that are going to miss you. I'm one of them.
I'll be around for a while.
I know.
I think if Jesus wanted me, he would have taken me quite a few years ago.
Yeah, you've had...
He's had quite a few run-ins with me.
Yeah. Do you want to go through all the... Well, we went through two of the close calls, the accidents. The car accident and the motorcycle accident.
I've fallen off houses. I've had head-on crashes. I've been in industrial accidents. I've been in many things in life.
You had an aneurysm when you were a kid.
Yep. That almost took me then.
Mm-hmm. So did you feel, because all those things happened and you survived them, did you feel like there was a reason for you to keep going?
Still do.
Mm-hmm.
You got a plan for me. I just don't know what it all is yet. And I may not ever know. I just know that I'm still here talking about it.
Yeah. So the last question I have is, if you could hold on to one memory from your life forever, what would that be?
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I was thinking about this for myself. It's a hard one to answer.
Well, it's between having my children, having my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely going to, it's going to have the love aspect of life in it.
Mm-hmm.
And on a closing statement, because I said that, there's the words that I don't take, that I don't use very often,
mm-hmm.
unless I really mean them. Love, hate, never and always.
Oh yes, I remember that growing up. We could never say that we hated anything. That was the only time that you could use never.
Don't say you hate something. That's a waste of energy. You can dislike something all you want. But hate is such an angry, angry emotion. It'll drain you.
Mm-hmm.
And love is such a, on the other side of the extreme. That's why people say, oh, I just love that. I'm like, no, you don't. You might like it a lot, but love is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of little.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to words.
Well, anything else you'd like to say?
I can't think of anything other than, oh my God, how sugar now.
Thanks for doing this interview with me. I wanted to do it for a long time, and I'm glad we could find the time.
Well, I may do it myself with you sometime.
Yeah, you're going to turn the tables on me?
No, I'm just going to ask you questions.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Might come of my own, though.
Well, thank you. I love you.
Love you, honey. Give me a squeeze. Get your long head, Dad. If my head needs to be bigger.
Okay, are we done?
If you say so.
All right.